We're going to be in 1 John chapter 3. It's my understanding there was a constituent of vicious rumors that I may be preaching out of 3 John chapter 1. If you're here for 3 John chapter 1, you can leave now. Okay, we're going to be in. Stephen, do you mind praying for the service?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for what's gone on so far today. I pray, my God, that you'd help Kyle now as he preaches. Father, give him the words that we have need of hearing and help him to respond on this properly and right, my God, for our profit, for his. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 3 opens, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And I just want to stop there. It's so exciting to bring good news. We're so prone to cling to look at what's wrong, what needs fixing, and what we need to do. And we so rarely take time to look at God's work. The Father, what the Father's bestowed upon us, what gifts we've freely been given. And throughout this chapter, we're going to find quite a few nuggets, trees, if you will. And I just want to take a minute to just bullet those that we'd just be able to appreciate the tree and not lose it amongst the forest. So in this chapter, we're going to see He has given us His Spirit. He's laid down His life. By His seed that cannot sin, we are born of God. He destroys the works of the devil, takes away our sin. We are called the sons of God. And He and we are not known by the world. Isn't that praiseworthy?
Amen.
Amen. Now let's look a little more closely. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 again. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." The world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Make no mistake about it. Regardless of how you sugarcoat it, I'm not lost. I'm seeking. Or really, really sweeten it up. We're looking for a gobstopper. It's like a hard candy that you can't easily break into. I mean, really sweeten up. I'm really seeking. Okay. No, you're of the world. And if you'd come to terms with that today you could be helped by this message. Why doesn't the world know us? Differing values. We might even call it iniquity. They look at freedom all wrong. They say, "I need to push the envelope. I need to express myself. If I can't do it my way, then I don't have free will." Or, "I really don't want to." It's, after all, isn't it a free country? That's their trump card. Choosing their freedom, their version of freedom, over righteousness and justice. Now, we're going to spend most of today in 1 John chapter 3. But so if you'd use that finger method here and hop over to John 19, we're going to look at that, how we do that, how we forfeit biblical freedom for the freedom of this world. Turn into John 19. And I'm looking at verse 5. Then came Jesus. No, verse 4. John 19, verse 4. "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. I want to emphasize that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Now, they're looking at freedom all wrong. You're not freed by your sins. You commit. You're not freed by your sins. You're committed. You're imprisoned. You're imprisoned by those sins. You cannot depart from those iniquitous thoughts without God's help, without God allowing you to depart from them. You say, I've never called, crucify him, crucify him. But we know Christ died for our sins. Mm-hmm. We won't turn there for sake of time, but if you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 15:3, you'll find Christ died for our sins. Mm-hmm. So when you sin in the name of free will, you're actually crying, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Give us that murderer. We can relate to him. He gets us. And we lose sight that Christ died for all. And you find that in 2 Corinthians 15:14. If the world knew that Christ died, I mean really knew that Christ died for the sins of all, it would stop making light of Christ and look towards his glorious return. If you turn to 1 John chapter 3, that's where we find it really dovetails nicely. Verse 2, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a glorious thought, God's appearance, the image of God, Jesus Christ. We will see him, and our perfecting, our hope of being more like Christ will be more real than it ever was. Christ, who is the image of God, you find that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. We won't turn there, but I'll read from John 14. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think Pastor Hain might have touched on this at the 11 o'clock. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And it's an enjoyable process. You think of what we're leaving behind, the eschewing of evil, It was brought to my remembrance this morning, and it was really profound at 2 a.m. But Tiffany shared this reposting, and we didn't have a chance to fact check the authorship. So I just, in its basic form, and it was just an interesting way to look at it. Evil being the absence of God, like cold being the absence of heat, or darkness being the absence of light. That's our desiring destination, that we're going away from the dark and to the light. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. let's do that finger trick again and hop over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we see these two natures that we are able to walk in the Spirit of God, that we can do right, and we don't have to be subject to the sin that's talked about in this fourth verse of 1 John chapter 3. That new man created after God in righteousness and true holiness. With that in mind, let's reread that fourth verse. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And continuing in verse 5, and ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. And we'll circle back to that, but just so that I can finish this thought, let's look at verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. So, Saint, I'll ask you, where is your abode? Where are you living? Are you in this new man, or are you just relying on your base instinct? Are you going back to what's comfortable, how I've handled it before, what makes sense to me? You need not live there. What you need is a change of address. And you're not gonna get this form at the post office. You're gonna have to go to God and say, God, I've messed up. I thought I could handle things, and God, I need you. I need to abode in you, and you're going to abode in Him, in His instruction, in the Word of God. In seeking godly counsel and hearing the godly messages of the church, and gosh, we get... What a glorious thought, how far we've come from this morning. We saw that Bible chained to the pulpit and the criers, and I want to say I was like 7. I went on a snowmobile trip and I got frostbite on my hands, and so like I look at the outside completely different from anybody else. It's a very dangerous place out there, and if I cannot stay outside, I'm okay with that. I'll take whole winters off to avoid being outside. Ooh, yeah, we got a contractor in the house. So we've gone from that Bible being chained to the pew, to now we can carry it with us. We can take it to work. We can take it to air condition. Is it Pastor Hain that had the Lazy Boy recliner? Yeah, we've got considerable more comfort in God's instruction, but we still have a requirement. We still need to open His Word. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins once we've confessed them. And isn't that what it's saying in verse 5? And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins. But you say, Yeah, that worked for you. That was that. That worked for you and them, but it's not working for me. I need a special sacrifice. I need a special offering. Mm-hmm. Hear what I'm saying. This was a special offering. The end of verse 5. And in him is no sin. I show up to work in uniform at 5:30. I take my first break at 7:30. I got like 7-8 sins piled up my first break. Okay? In him is no sin. Just two more verses and we're done. So we'll take that finger and we'll just pull that right away. We're going right to Matthew. Right to Matthew. We're going to set up camp here. The book of Matthew, chapter 9. So the question is, saint or sinner, how do you come to Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. You don't need, nor will you ever, that his riches are unsearchable. You will never have full understanding of the love of Christ, the love of the Father. You need only come knowing he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. But something's holding you back. What is holding you back? Is it your reasoning? I've tried that, it didn't work. Is it your love of sin? Yeah, I really have to give up quite a bit. And Taryn, how old are you?
12.
I'm 12. I got a lot of life left. Or Bob, how old are you?
Just 60.
I'm just 60, right? I got a lot left. I don't know if I can commit to. It's not so much a concern of, can I live a sin-free life? It's more, we've got this promise. We've got this, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So I know things are pretty good right now, but if I take that leap, if I commit to Christ, he's going to hold me to a higher standard. He's going to want more from me. He's going to scourge me. He's going to drag me through the muck that I might be a testament for him. I might have to actually use my talents that he's given me. I don't know if I can. I'm scared. Let me say it's worth the peace. It's worth. Yeah. It's worth a clean conscience, and I know that it's so hard even to comprehend what that would be like for you. It's been so long since you've been doing right that you don't know what you're missing. Is it your reasoning? Is it your love of sin? Or is it your freedom? A again, that flawed reasoning that what I'm doing is freedom. I think July 4th, it's like the redneck Christmas. It's like all the goodness of Thanksgiving plus barbecue, and usually there's like a dessert dish with strawberries on it. And you're just kind of hanging out. Maybe you got some sparklers, some Roman candles. You're just waiting for the sun to go down so you can start blowing stuff up, right? It's freedom. It's freedom for the sake of loud noises. And that's where we get trapped in. We get trapped in the flash, the flashing lights of look what I'm getting away with. Look at it. And we've got such a short-term memory of... well, for one, where my bank account was, right? And then I went to Pennsylvania and got a truck bed full of fireworks, and now I'm down here. We forget all about that. Or like the hangover is like the stereotypical, like, and then it's all forgotten as by next Tuesday we've completely forgot about all the festivities, and we're just back to payment plans and the grind, right? Counting your points. Do I have to go to work today or don't I? That's brutal. But these two verses here in Matthew 9, I want you to take three things away from them. At the end of verse 21, it says, "I shall be whole." What was she made clean by? Was it her reasoning? Did she make some mental ascension? No, she just recognized the cleanness of Christ, and that touching him would make her clean. Whiter than any fuller. And the second thing, the hem of his garment. And from behind, she didn't need she didn't need a special appointment. She didn't need fanfare. She didn't need an introduction. She just... There's two hems. There's we went to a suit store in Buffalo, and all the coats you bought by length. So you got pretty close. You got, like, if you got a long coat, It covered you. You needed the regular, okay? So you bought to the length, but all the pants were like 38 length. They look like a clown, like super super long. So this hem you bought on purpose, and then your pants you had brought up. That was the hem that needed work, and I believe that's the hem that she sought. That lowly hem. That she brought herself to submission. That it was said before. It was said today. What else can be said? Once you've read through the Bible, it's all repetition. It's all the same verse. It's all this. It's been printed. This is the Word of God, and it's not changing. It's you've finished Revelation. You start back in Genesis. Nothing's new except your depth of understanding. You might see it a little more deeply, but it's all already been said. The helm of his garment. Gosh. The third thing, I'm sorry, I know that point didn't quite connect like I wanted it to. The third point is after 12 years, she had this issue 12 years. Did she blame her creator? God, you made a mistake.
That's good.
No, she sought him to make her clean. Mm-hmm. And that's how we need to come to Christ.
Amen. I like it.
Amen.
Pastor,
I fully intended to maybe interrupt you at times to say things. No, that was a good job.
Amen.
And we live